It's a great honor to speak God's word and get to share it with you this morning. And this morning, I'm wanting to share on the big picture. The big picture. So what do I mean by the big picture? I mean seeing something from the beginning to the end, or seeing something how God sees it. So often in our lives, we get so caught up in where we're at and what we have going on, that we almost get that tunnel vision. And we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the big picture. And I was reminded of it this week, just looking at Facebook. And I don't know how many of you remember him, but Josh Mickle. He posted on his Facebook post that he is disappointed because he had interviewed for his dream job, being able to work at ESPN. And he was disappointed that he didn't get a position he had applied for. And, you know, I noticed on some of the comments, people were just encouraging him. You know, God's got a plan. God's going to take care of you and your wife. And, you know, just being that encouraging factor to him. Because a lot of times when we're looking for work, we can get caught up in, I don't have a job. I'm not getting the job. I'm putting my applications in online and into the abyss of nothingness that is job applications online. And you don't know what's going on, and it can get so frustrating. I remember a period of time when I was without work. It was frustrating. It got to the point where Krista just told me, just get a job. I don't care what you're doing. Just get out of the house. Essentially, that's what she told me. And she just wanted me to get a job. So I took the first job that came up. I started working at FedEx, driving a van, delivering paper, like print jobs. And wasn't getting paid a lot. I remember even in my interview, the manager of the store was like, you're way overqualified for this. I was like, I know, but my wife wants me to just get a job. And he's like, okay, you can have it. So I took it. And it's easy when you're in circumstances like that to lose sight. I worked there for about 4 years. I was blessed to be able to move up. But throughout that, I could see just times where God had me in the right place. And that's what the big picture is seeing things how God sees it. It'd been easy for me to look at my circumstances and be frustrated with what was going on and not recognize that God was using me. He was using me to speak to my coworkers. He was using me to speak to my customers. Because, yeah, I was working for a secular company, and technically I wasn't supposed to be preaching the gospel and everything. But working where I was working, we would have people come in that were printing pictures, printing bulletins for funerals. And I was able to be encouraging, to be positive, to be a smile for these people that are going through difficult things. Or for Krista and I, with our adoption. There's so many times over the last 4 years or so where it was easy for us to lose sight of the big picture. Moments of tears, wondering, is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to come to fruition? Maybe we should just give up on this dream of being parents. Maybe we should just stop. You know, the money's going out the door. This is happening. We can't get our, you know, it's easy to lose sight, to lose that focus of what God's doing. So I'm going to focus on two people this morning, Amram and Jochebed. Two not very common names. We know their story quite well. If you don't know, they're Moses' parents. I believe their name's only mentioned once in Scripture, and it's in one of those genealogy type lists. But their stories in Exodus chapter 2. Really, their stories, primarily mom, Jochebed, she's the focus here. But in Exodus chapter 2, the first 10 verses, it says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." That story is so amazing. I mean, I've read it so many different times. Pastor Daniel preached on it a couple months ago. I've seen the movie. Movie's good. But it never fails to amaze me. There's so much in this story. I mean, just now it just stands out to me. Moses' sister was involved in that. She followed the basket, had the guts to speak up to Pharaoh's daughter, and then she went and got mom to come nurse. That's just crazy. The fact that all of that's going on. I mean, the boldness to speak to Pharaoh's daughter is crazy to think about. Because it's not like she was speaking to just some random person along the road. You're speaking to the daughter of the leader of the country. And I'm sure that wasn't normal for some Hebrew slave girl to speak to her. But what I'm wanting to focus on this morning is Amram and Jochebed and what they had to do and where they were in all this. And first, the choices they had to make. You look at this story, and they had to make a series of tough choices, a series of decisions that I hope none of us would ever have to make. I mean, first of all, they had to choose to have children in a political climate that was not very good. They were enslaved. They were being oppressed. And then the leader of the nation starts killing babies. Not the greatest circumstances. They had to decide to hide Moses, which was a brave decision. Hiding a baby must not have been easy. Paul is not quiet. I don't think you could hide him. When he decides to speak up, you'll hear him. I mean, I sleep through everything, but he wakes me up even. I mean, I sleep through the junior hires and high schoolers at camp, but I can't sleep through him too well. I do sometimes, Krista says, but. So hiding a baby, they made that choice. Mom made the choice to put him in a basket and put him in the river. That, again, is mind-boggling. Then the choice, she gets to come and nurse him. And essentially for the first parts of his life, she's heavily involved. Because I'm pretty sure she was like super nanny, getting to live there and take care of him and nurse him. So she makes this choice to put him in the river, not knowing if she'll ever see him again. And then she gets to nurse him. And then they make the choice to let Pharaoh's daughter raise him and to take him in as their own. I look at this, and in my mind, it's the first documented open adoption. Just because, hey, mom's there. She lets someone else raise him, and she's involved in their life. That's cool. It's the world's first documented open adoption. I like that. They had to make all of these choices. They had to make these decisions. And I think they saw the big picture. Although they didn't know what was going on, although they didn't know what the results of all these choices were, they saw the big picture. They saw that God was involved in it. They saw that God's hand was on them. They saw that. So seeing the big picture does not mean we know the whole story, but it means we have faith, we have hope, and love that God is with us through it all. So seeing the big picture doesn't mean you have all the answers. Because there's multiple, many, many times in our life that we're not going to have all the right answers. We don't know what the end will look like. But we can have faith, and we can have hope, and we can have love, knowing that God is with us. So the first of those things, the faith they had, the faith that Moses' parents had. Faith in general is the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. That's just in general what faith is. It's knowing that something is true. And I believe they knew that God was real. They knew God was with them. They had a confidence that God was with them and their family. And as they made these choices, whether it was the choice to hide Moses, whether it was the choice to place him in that river, they knew that God had him and their family in his hands. In Deuteronomy 31:7-8, it says, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" I believe they knew that. I believe they had faith that that was true. That concept, that idea that God is with them, that he's going before them. I believe when she put that baby in a basket and put him in the river, that although she may not know the results of what was going to happen to him, although in the back of her mind she probably had a feeling he may not make it, that somewhere down the river he was going to pass away, that he was going to die. But she also knew that God was with him. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace, they stood there and they said, although we might die, we know our God's with us. And we know our God's bigger than this. And our God is better and bigger and stronger than our circumstances and any earthly ruler. They stood up in confidence and in faith, knowing that God was with them. Because God sees the big picture. He sees the whole story. He wrote the story. And so we can have confidence when we're facing circumstances, when we're facing life, to know that God is with us. And we can have faith that he is. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. We can have faith in that, church, that nothing can separate us. No matter where we're at, no matter our circumstances, no matter where our attitude might bring us, no matter how frustrating it might be, how many tears we might have, how much doubt we might have, we can still have faith that God is there, because he is. He hasn't left you. Nothing separates us from him. Although we have doubts, although we question things, we question what God's doing. Although in the middle of our adoption story, we questioned what God was doing. Why weren't we getting matched? Why wasn't this happening? Why wasn't that happening? Although we had those questions, we knew that God was there. And that brings me to the second point. The hope they had. Because that faith that comes from God, that faith that we can have because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, that gives us hope. They had hope that God was with them and would see them through the trials they were facing. We can have hope of things that don't make sense. We can have hope that God will see us through. I believe when she put him in that river, she had hope. She had hope that God was bigger. She had hope that God would be with him and would see their family through. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." We're giving a living hope. We're given a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, church, we have hope. We can have hope. We can have faith that God is with us, that he will see us through it, and that his promises will not come back void. Have hope, church. Don't lose sight of who God is. Don't lose sight of his presence in your life. Don't lose sight of what he's doing in your life. Don't lose focus and let the things of this world pull you away. It's so easy for us to get distracted, to put our hope in other things. It's so easy to put our hope in ourselves and trying to make it happen. I fall into that all the time. Just getting to a point where I'm trying to do it all myself, on my own strength. You know, over the last 8-9 months, you know, just with the youth group alone, I've had to realize I can't do it all on my own. You know, for the month that Krista and I were in Virginia, and my youth leaders had to run youth group and take care of everything because I was taking care of my son and my wife, and I couldn't be there. It was so difficult to let go, to let go of something that is normally in my control, and I'm running, and I'm, you know, in charge of, and I'm doing the speaking, and I'm making sure that we have nachos warmed for them, and that, you know, that's on point, and, you know, making sure that, you know, someone's got a game for them to play, and that, you know, worship is set up, and, you know, all those things. I had to let go. I had to say, I can't do it on my own. I had to trust God first, but also put trust in my youth leaders. And they're amazing. They're all sitting in the back row. You guys are awesome. But that just goes for life in general. We have to let go. We have to let go of our circumstances, let go of our finances, trust God with our finances. Trust God with our families. Trusting God that that person in our family, or that son or daughter that maybe isn't serving the Lord, like they'll come back to him. That God will speak to them and open up their eyes, open up their heart to who he is. But we can have hope that God is faithful, that God's working on them. We can have hope that God is there and he's present because he hasn't left us. And my third point is the love they had. They had a deep love for God and for their son. They were not giving up. For their son to live, they made the choice in love to leave him in God's hands. Moses' parents, they did what they did out of love. Out of a love for their son and for God. They had faith that God would be with him. They had a hope that God would see him through. But it was a choice they made out of love. It's a sacrificial love. One thing being a parent will ever teach you, it's sacrificial love. Because you have to give up a lot to take care of that baby, and you choose to do it. You choose to wake up in the middle of the night and take care of them. You choose to put aside your plans to work with them. It's a sacrificial love. And this story, and just everything we've gone through with our adoption, it makes me think of birth parents who make that choice for adoption. And that sacrificial love that they are portraying by making that choice. They're not giving up when they make that choice to give their child up for adoption. They're not giving up. They don't not love their child. They're making a choice and saying, the circumstances we're under, it's better for this child to go than it is to stay with me. They're giving up their own desires and their own love, and a lot of times putting aside their selfishness for others and for that child. And when I see that, and when I saw it in our own birth parents' situation, it wasn't a selfish choice. They didn't make that choice for adoption because they wanted to go live their own lives and do those things. They made it because it was better for them. Moses' parents made the choice to hide him, made the choice to put him in that river, made the choice to let Pharaoh's daughter raise him because it was better. Because they saw the big picture. Because they saw who God was. They knew God was with him always. And that God would raise him up. Now, did they know who Moses was going to be? That he was going to lead the people out of Israel? That he was going to do all these great things that we know him for? No. But they knew God was with them. They knew God wasn't going to leave them. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's sacrificial love. Laying down your life. Putting aside your own desires. Ephesians calls us to put others, Ephesians chapter 2 calls us to put others' desires above our own. That's sacrificial love. That's the love that God has for us. That's the love he has for us when he sent his son to the cross to die for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. That's sacrificial love. That's the love Moses' parents had for him. That's the love God has for us. That's the love that we see in the gospel. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that we don't deserve, but God gives it to us. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He shows us him on a daily basis. And as the worship team comes back up here, their story ultimately shows us God's providential love and grace through his son, Jesus Christ. Amram and Jochebed, their story of faith, hope, and love, it ultimately is showing us God's providential love and his grace, and that he has a plan for our lives. He has a plan to see us through. He's not going to leave you. You're not alone. And you can have a hope, church, that is greater and that goes beyond anything we could ever understand. A hope that the world looks at and says, that makes no sense. Why you're happy, why you're joyful, why you can stand in the face of your circumstances and keep moving forward. So, church, I hope you're encouraged this morning. Know that God loves you. Know that His grace abounds. Be encouraged. God is greater.